Hello and welcome to the Magazine Rack on Chris. I'm Mario Cahar, and today I'll be reading from the PetRadar.com website, the USDA.gov website, the CatTime website, and the PetMD website. First, we have an editor's note. Last week, we had an article about the pros and cons of letting your dog sleep with you on your bed. This week, it's the kitty's turn. So first, we have an article by Catherine Williams titled, Should You Let a Cat Sleep on Your Bed? The question, should you let a cat sleep on your bed, is a common one among feline pet parents. And while there's no right or wrong answer here, there are some things worth considering before you decide to let your kitty curl up alongside of you. Even if you've invested in the best cat bed, sometimes your feline friend will still decide they'd much rather sleep with you. Just like us, cats are very vulnerable when they're snoozing, so the fact that your kitty is seeking you out at night is a sign of how much they trust you. But while snuggling with your fur baby has its perks for both of you when it comes to things like bonding and security, there are also some downsides, such as allergies and disturbed sleep quality, that many pet parents report struggling with. Carefully weighing these pros and cons can help you make the right decision for you and your furry friend. And to help you do just that, you'll find everything you need to know right here about letting your cat sleep on your bed, including why they do it, the advantages and disadvantages of being bed buddies, and some tips and tricks to get your cat to stop. So first, obviously, why does your cat sleep on your bed? Believe it or not, the reasons why your cat chooses to snooze on your bed are more complex than it simply being a super comfortable place to sleep. There are also several emotional and behavioral reasons they may decide to try to snooze alongside of you. So let's take a look at some of the most common ones. First, obviously, is love. Why do any of us choose to curl up with someone else? Why, love, of course. It turns out that cats are very similar to humans when it comes to getting up close and personal with those they feel deep affection for. Now, while they may not try and get quite as snuggly with you as a dog would, even sleeping at the foot of the bed is one of the signs your cat loves you. And if you got your kitty during the first 4 to 9 weeks of their life when imprinting occurs, the chances are even higher that they'll want to stick close by you. Second is comfort. Cats can sleep anywhere from a conservative 12 hours to a marathon 16 hours a day. And let's face it, we have a feeling you find your bed pretty darn comfy, so the chances are pretty high that your cat will too. I mean, seriously, what's not to like? Cozy quilt cover? Check. Snuggly sheets? Check. Cloud-like pillow? Check. Now, compare that to a wooden chair, and you can quickly see why your bed is so darn enticing to that kitty. Number 3 is warmth. Have you ever noticed your feline friend curled up in the sun or sitting on top of a pile of laundry that's just come out of the dryer? Well, and you know how much they love warmth. And while it's easy for them to keep themselves toasty on balmy days, cold weather makes things a lot more difficult. A cat's normal body temperature is 102 degrees Fahrenheit, which is easy to maintain on warm days, but difficult to do in colder weather. During those winter months, a cat needs to use a lot more calories to keep their internal furnace firing at the right temperature. And curling up next to you and absorbing some of your body heat is an easy way to help them do just that. The fourth reason is protection and security. Almost all species hold at their core the belief that there's safety in numbers, and our feline friends are no different. If you were to observe big cats in the wild, you'd quickly spot that they always sleep together as a group, and there's a good reason for that. It makes it a whole lot harder for predators to attack when they can't easily isolate one cat. Now, while the threat of being gobbled up when darkness falls is very slim for domestic cats, this pack mentality remains deeply embedded in their DNA. And because lowering their guard during sleep makes them feel vulnerable, they may seek you out as a way of both protecting you and feeling protected themselves. Number 5, marking their territory. As you probably already know, cats are highly territorial, and they'll mark furniture and items around the home as a way of signaling to other cats that this area belongs to them. This territorial behavior doesn't just extend to other cats, however. Sometimes your feline friend will mark things as a way of letting you know that they've decided that a particular item is theirs and not yours. So, in your cat's mind, you could actually be sleeping in their bed rather than the other way around. So, we get back to the question, should you let your cat sleep on your bed? Well, the decision as to whether or not to let your cat sleep on your bed is a personal one, and it depends on various factors, such as how heavy a sleeper you are, whether you have any allergies, and what benefits there are to you and your furry friend. So, here are some pros and cons to consider. First, the pros. 1. Bonding. If your cat's love language is physical touch or quality time, then sleeping together could be a great way of nurturing this and helping the both of you feel closer. It can also help protect against loneliness and give the both of you a sense of safety and security. Next is stress relief. It's been well documented that petting animals helps the human body release the feel-good hormone oxytocin, which helps lower cortisol levels in the body and relieve stress. Number 3, fall asleep easier. For some people, having their cat close by can actually promote quality of sleep, instilling a sense of calm that helps them to fall asleep quicker than if they were sleeping alone. Now let's look at the cons. 1 is allergies. If you suffer from allergies or you have asthma, then letting your kitty sleep on your bed is probably not a good idea. Around 12% of Americans have allergies to cats, which can result in breathing difficulties that can disturb your sleep. While choosing not to have a cat is the best solution, if that's not possible, then keeping them outside the bedroom will make sure you get the rest you need. Next comes disturbed sleep quality. While it's true that cats can sleep up to 16 hours a day, their sleep cycles are very different to ours, so it's not unusual for them to want to be up and about come dawn or engage in a play session at 1 o'clock in the morning. Not really ideal if you're trying to get that all-important beauty sleep for yourself. And even if your cat does sleep through the night with you, it's likely they'll be moving around, scratching, nudging you, and possibly even snoring. All things that can cause you to have a restless night in bed. Keeping your cat outside the bedroom might be the best move. Third, and this is important, hygiene. Even if you treat your kitty regularly with one of the best flea treatments for cats, bear in mind that when you share your bed with your cat, you're also sharing it with anything that might be hitching a ride in your kitty's coat. And parasites, unfortunately, aren't the only thing to be concerned about. Unless you have a cat litter that produces no or very light tracking, you could also end up with some unpleasant germs all over your bed covers, which definitely won't be great for your health. So, how do you stop your cat from sleeping on your bed? If you've decided after hearing the pros and cons that having your kitty sleeping on your bed definitely isn't right for you, well, here's some good news. There are plenty of great tips and tricks that can nip this behavior in the bud or prevent it from starting in the first place. Here are a few of our favorites. Number 1, cat bed. One of the first things you want to do is make sure your feline friend has a snuggly sleep spot of their own that's going to look and feel way more than yours. We recommend investing in one of the best luxury cat beds and furnishing it with a nice cozy blanket. Place the bed in a warm and safe corner of the house and use treats to encourage your kitty to use it. Next is close your bedroom door. A simple way to stop your cat from sleeping on your bed is to close the door and make sure it remains closed whether you're in your room or elsewhere in the house. If you find your feline friend tries to scratch to get in, invest a protector that will keep claw marks from making a mess of your door. Number 3, cat repellent. Cat repellent sprays are a great way to keep your kitty from furniture you don't want them to use. These safe and effective sprays contain scents that your furry buddy doesn't really like, and when sprayed lightly on the part of the bed they like to sleep on, it'll put them off wanting to curl up over there. Number 4. Train them from a young age. One of the best ways to stop your cat from sleeping on your bed is to train them from a young age that they have a designated sleep spot, their cat bed, and to be consistent with making them use it. Have it as a rule from day one that sleeping on your bed ain't allowed, and be persistent with removing them. Soon enough, they'll get the message. Number 5. Give your cat access to other furniture. Investing in a cat tree can be a great way of encouraging your furry friend to sleep elsewhere. These contain a bed and toys, and they also offer some of the best cat scratching posts. Plus, they're kind of like the human version of a jungle gym, offering your kitty lots of opportunities to climb and play. Hey, who needs your bed when they have that, right? Number 6. Try double-sided tape. Oh yeah, the old double-sided tape trick. It's an oldie but a goodie. Cats hate anything that's sticky, so pop it on their favorite part of the bed and they'll soon be off in search of a new place to crash. Oh, and if you don't have double-sided tape, aluminum foil will also work wonders. Kitties can't stand that either. Number 7. Have a bedtime routine. Yeah, we know, a bedtime routine sounds like something that's just for us humans, but believe it or not, doing the same thing for your cat can help them settle for the night. Try to have an evening ritual, such as using one of the best cat brushes to groom them before tucking them into their cat bed. They'll come to expect this each night and will learn that these things signal it's time to go to sleep. You're listening to the Magazine Rack on Chris. Up next is a U.S. Food and Drug Administration editorial titled, Travel Training for You and Your Pets. We all need vacations to get away from the monotony of our everyday routine. And if you choose to bring your four-legged friends with you on your retreat, it's important to know how to care for them while you're traveling. Most of us travel by car or plane, but either option brings certain drawbacks for our pets. So, when traveling with your pets, there may be animal health requirements specific to your destination, either international or domestic. As soon as you know your travel plans, contact your veterinarian to help you with the pet travel process. This may include getting a health certificate, also called a certificate of veterinary inspection, updating vaccines, having blood tests done, getting a microchip implanted for identification, and having paperwork reviewed and endorsed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. It's your responsibility to work with your veterinarian well in advance of your travel to find out what tests, vaccines, paperwork, or other inspections may be required by your destination country or state and when they must be completed. So first, let's talk about car travel. Car travel is usually less stressful on pets because it allows Freckles and Champ to be close to you so you can monitor their well-being and come to their aid if needed. If you choose to drive to your destination, here are a few helpful hints to make the trip more enjoyable for both you and your pets. First is heat, and this is very important. Never leave any pet unattended in a car, even if it's just for a few minutes. According to the American Veterinary Medical Association, hundreds of pets die every year from heat exhaustion after being left in parked vehicles. AVMA estimates that on an 80-degree day, the temperature inside of a closed car can rise to 114 degrees in less than 30 minutes, and this can be fatal to a pet. So make sure when you leave your car, you take your pet with you. Do not leave a pet in a closed car, even with the windows rolled down. Also, doing this is illegal in many states. Take your pet with you when you leave your vehicle. Next is securing your pets. According to AAA, unrestrained dogs cause distractions for drivers and potentially tens of thousands of car accidents every year. Some states even have laws prohibiting driving with an unrestrained dog in your vehicle, including in the bed of a pickup truck. Even if your state doesn't have such a law, it's always a good idea to restrain Fido and Fluffy in a crate, carrier, or harness. Motion sickness. It's common for pets to experience motion sickness while traveling in a car, just like a lot of humans. So to help avoid an upset stomach, don't feed your dog or cat a large meal before travel. And cracking a window to allow fresh air to circulate through your vehicle also helps on the road. Bathroom breaks. While a dog may snooze for the majority of the trip, it's still important to give them frequent bathroom breaks. Traffic is unpredictable, so if it has been more than a couple of hours, stop and give your dog a chance to relieve himself and stretch his legs. But do not let a cat out of their carrier when you stop for a break. It's safest to keep cats in their carriers to prevent the risk of them escaping and running off. Air travel. For people, flying is often quicker and easier than driving, but flying can be a more stressful experience for your pets and more complicated for you. The first thing you want to do is check with your veterinarian to make sure your dog or cat are fit to fly. Next, you'll need to research your options when it comes to which airlines to use. All airlines must follow the Animal Welfare Act, which is enforced by the USDA. This law established certain requirements for transporting animals by plane. Airlines can also impose their own separate and additional requirements. Once you choose your airline, you'll want to learn about that particular airline's policies and requirements for pets traveling in cargo or in the cabin, including how to prepare your dog or cat and their crate or carrier for the plane ride, and how the airline handles pets from departure to destination. Traveling to Hawaii and abroad. Traveling outside the continental United States with your dog or cat requires advanced planning. For international travel, contact the appropriate country's embassy or consulate well in advance of your trip. Different countries may require different documentations for your pet's entry. The USDA and APHIS regulates the movement of pets into and out of the United States. The APHIS Pet Travel webpage has information about taking your pet from the U.S. to a foreign country and bringing your pet into the United States from a foreign country. The state of Hawaii, by the way, also has strict entry requirements for arriving pets to prevent rabies from entering the state. And here's something you probably didn't know. Hawaii is the only state in the U.S. that is rabies-free. Now, some general tips. First is sedatives. While sedatives may make your pet seem less stressed while traveling, these medications can dull the senses and lessen their ability to react to the environment, which can be dangerous in an emergency. When traveling by car or plane, avoid giving your pets any type of sedative. If you think Fido or Fluffy really needs a sedative to travel, talk to your veterinarian before your trip. Next, be prepared. It's a good idea to get your pets used to their crate, carrier, or harness before your trip. If Fido or Fluffy are already familiar with what they'll be secured in, you may have less trouble getting them into it, and they may have less anxiety during travel. And if you plan to stay in a hotel while traveling, contact the hotel ahead of time to make sure it's pet-friendly. And finally, before your trip, research veterinary hospitals in the city or town of your destination just in case of a pet emergency during your vacation. You're tuned in to the Magazine Rack on Chris. We have an editorial titled, A Warning to Pet Parents, Aloe is Toxic to Cats. Aloe is a beloved houseplant thanks to its health benefits, but cat parents must be aware that aloe is toxic to cats. So here we'll learn about the signs of aloe poisoning and what to do if your cat ingests it. Aloe vera is a common household plant known for its numerous health benefits and medicinal properties, and as such, it's a popular choice for an indoor plant. However, if you have a feline friend at home, you've probably wondered if aloe is toxic to cats. So, let's find out. Aloe vera is a succulent plant that belongs to the Liliaceae family. People use it to treat sunburn, promote digestion, and soothe dry skin. However, for cats, the aloe plant has substances that can be bad for the digestive system. Additionally, aloe contains substances known as anthraquinones. When cats ingest these, they might experience vomiting, diarrhea, lethargy, tremors, depression, and loss of appetite. Generally, small amounts of aloe skin or aloe gel won't harm your cat. But aloe is toxic to cats if your kitty eats a lot of it. So here's what to do if your cat eats some aloe. If you suspect that your cat has ingested aloe, here's what you need to do. Monitor your cat's health for symptoms of poisoning for a full day. Remove the aloe or leaves from your cat's reach to prevent further ingestion. If you notice residues stuck in the cat's teeth, gently clean their mouth with a damp cloth. And also, contact your veterinarian or an emergency veterinary clinic immediately for professional advice if your cat shows symptoms of poisoning. Here's what to do when you talk to your veterinarian. Tell the vet that your cat has ingested aloe and describe the symptoms. Your vet may suggest inducing vomiting or bringing your furry friend in for an examination and treatment. You may even have to take a sample of the aloe plant with you. Depending on the severity of the symptoms, your vet may also recommend hospitalization with IV fluids and medications. So here are some safe alternatives to aloe vera. As pet owners, it's our responsibility to ensure that our homes are safe for our dogs and cats, and that includes keeping them away from toxic plants. A non-toxic alternative to aloe is Haworthia, an easy-to-grow succulent that's also called a zebra cactus. It has a very similar appearance to aloe. And aloe isn't the only possible danger lurking in your home. Many plants we love are dangerous for dogs and cats, including mistletoe, ivy, sago palm, pothos, and lilies. So if you want to keep a toxic plant in your home, it's very important to keep it out of your cat's reach. And you can also consider keeping the plant in a separate room or using a plant stand. This is the Magazine Rack on Chris. Next is a piece by veterinarian Dr. Catherine Barnett titled, "Is Your Dog Sneezing All the Time?" A vet lays out possible causes and when to be concerned. A dog sneezing now and then is generally nothing to worry about. So, when should you be concerned about your dog when they're sneezing? Well, this will be determined how often it's happening and if your pup has any other symptoms. Frequent or chronic sneezing can sometimes be a sign of something more serious going on. And here, veterinarian Dr. Catherine Barnett lays out four possible reasons your dog is sneezing, and the last one surprised us. First is allergies. In the case of allergies, your vet will first identify the cause of your dog's allergies. There are four common allergies in dogs: grain or dust mite allergies, inhalation allergy, flea allergy, and food allergy. Food trials are typically used to rule out common food allergies in pets, while allergy testing can assess your pet's response to mites and environmental triggers. Based on these tests, your vet will characterize your dog's allergies and recommend an appropriate treatment. Allergies are managed, not cured. Your dog will likely require long-term use of a hypoallergenic diet, oral medications such as Apoquel for dogs, and/or other lifestyle changes to control allergies. Next is dental problems. Canine dental diseases are best addressed with a comprehensive dental cleaning performed under general anesthesia. Your veterinarian will examine your dog's teeth closely and take x-rays of each tooth. Any diseased teeth will be extracted, and your dog will likely be treated with antibiotics. In many dogs, taking care of dental disease alleviates recurrent sneezing. Next is nasal problems. A nasal foreign body, in contrast, in other words, some foreign object in the dog's nose, is usually addressed surgically. Your veterinarian will sedate your dog and then attempt to flush or extract any foreign material from the nose. Removal of a nasal foreign body is curative. No further treatment is usually needed once the object has been removed from the nose. Nasal tumors are relatively uncommon, but they do occur. Treatment may require a combination of therapies. Depending on the tumor and its location, your vet may recommend surgery, radiation therapy, and/or chemotherapy. And finally, sneezing can also be due to excitement. While some sneezing has a medical cause, this isn't always the case. Believe it or not, dogs also use sneezing to communicate with other dogs and their human companions. Sneezing is often associated with excitement, indicating a desire to play or interact. In fact, many dogs use sneezing to get their owner's attention. Sneezing may also be used as a sign of submission in some contexts, or it may be used as a way to de-escalate rough play. And not to worry, because behavioral sneezing usually doesn't indicate any sort of an underlying medical problem. You're listening to the Magazine Rack on Chris. Finally, we have a piece by Megan Milstead, and it's titled, Four Things You Should Never Do to Your Cat, According to an Expert. As cat lovers, we'd go to the ends of the earth for our furry friends. Despite what many people think, cats can be very affectionate pets and give you endless hours of joy. And there's nothing we wouldn't do to keep them happy, whether that's buying them the best cat bed, making time to play with them using the best cat toys, or learning how to keep a cat warm outside during cold weather. However, there are some misconceptions about cat communication and a few things you might need to be aware of. And although you might mean well and see other people doing these things, your cat will probably misinterpret them. Amanda Campion, a clinical animal behaviorist, shared four things she would never do to her cat and why. And here they are. First, using water guns. Using any form of water as a punishment, whether it's a gun, water pistol, spray bottle, is a big no-no for Amanda, and it's something she would never do. As everyone knows, most cats hate water, so it might seem like the best way to teach your furry friend a lesson. However, she explains cats do not respond to negative punishment, so it's best to give this one a miss. The next no-no is yelling at the cat. As humans, it's natural to want to scream and yell if something has really got us ticked off. Cats are playful creatures, so they're probably going to make a mess and cause some kind of chaos from time to time. Shouting might make you feel a little better, but it's not going to solve the problem in the future. Amanda explains that yelling will just make your cat scared of you and spoil the bond you've created, so it's really not worth it in the long run. Number 3, anthropomorphizing bad behavior. Amanda also says that she would never anthropomorphize her cat's behavior. By the way, that long word is just a fancy way of saying giving them human characteristics. Our cats might feel like part of the family, but it's important to remember that they are animals and will never do anything out of spite like a human might. That means we shouldn't be punishing them for bad behavior, like peeing outside the litter box, as it simply isn't true. And number 4, and this is important, ignoring their behavior. Never ignore your cat if they're acting strange or their behavior is a little off. It could be a sign that they're trying to communicate with you. Amanda recommends that if this is happening, you might want to look into it further and paying a visit to the vet just to make sure everything's okay. And that's it for this installment of the Magazine Rack on Chris. I've been reading from the Pet Radar website, the USDA.gov website, the Cat Time website, and the PetMD website. I'm Mario Cahar. So long till next time.